Welcome to the weekly podcast from the Church of England. This week, as the Church of England's Twitter project, our C of E, starts its second year, we're joined by a social media savvy nun who's already taken part in the project. But first, an interview with Sir Tony Baldry, who's just stepped down as MP for North Oxfordshire and as the second Church Estates Commissioner, the link between the Church of England and government. During the interview, he explains what the role of the second Church Estates Commissioner involved and talked about the importance of church growth and mission.
Well, it's been a pretty full 5 years. I arrived in 2010, the summer of 2010, debates in General Synod trying to find a way forward on women bishops, which failed. The first couple of years, a lot of discussion debate on women bishops. We then had we had the key vote in General Synod where women bishops failed to get a two-thirds majority. I was actually summoned, first time Second Church Estates Commissioner, have been summoned to the House of Commons to answer an urgent question. We then had a full debate in the House of Commons on that. So I think getting through the legislation on women bishops has been really an important part of these last 5 years. We've done that, and I was also very pleased that I was able to persuade the Leader of the House and the Leader of the House of Lords that we should also have a bill which enabled, you know, the first women diocesan bishops who were appointed to be fast-tracked into the House of Lords. So that's been a pretty busy time. But there's also been lots of other stuff, quite a bit relating to church building. So legislation to try and combat lead theft. So it is now illegal to trade in cash for metals, so that was quite important. But I never thought that during my parliamentary career I'd be concerned of such things as where was Richard III going to be buried, that so much of my life would be dominated by bats.
Some people might think that the role as Second Estates Church Commissioner actually wouldn't be that busy, but it sounds like you've been really busy for 5 years. Were you surprised how busy you would be?
Yes, no, I think it is quite busy. And I think the other thing about it is this, that I'm appointed by the Crown. I'm not accountable to the Archbishop of Canterbury. I'm not accountable to the Prime Minister. I'm appointed by the Crown. So that means that I'm answerable only, as the Bishop of London once pointed out to me, to God and the Queen. The advantage of that is that within the House of Commons, I and I alone speak on behalf of the Church of England. And I think the machinery of government find that really helpful, because the ministers know that when they're talking to me, they're talking to the Church of England. I think quite often the machinery of government finds the machinery of governance of the Church of England quite complicated, because ministers and officials are never quite sure who they're talking to. And so I think it has been busy, but I think by making it clear that I represent the Church of England, that that's helped. And I think, for example, I think it helped get £70 million out of the Chancellor Exchequer for cathedrals and churches. And because I think the Treasury and the Department of Culture, Media and Sport, well, they knew that when they were talking to me, they were talking to the church, this is what we need, and so on and so forth. So it has been a busy time, and I think probably busier than I had anticipated. And I think, whereas in the past, the Second Church Estates Commissioner attended in the House just to speak for the church commissioners, I think the role has now evolved. So the Second Church Estates Commissioner is really speaking for the Church of England corporately to government, which is quite important. But I think what I didn't appreciate until I started the role is just how incredibly complicated is the governance of the Church of England. You know, you've got, it's an Episcopal-led church, so you've got House of Bishops, you've then got Lambeth Palace, you've got Church House, you've got the Archbishop's Council, you've got the Church Commissioners, you've got each parish, diocese, its own entity. Learning the difference between the diocesan office and the bishop's office and all of that. That has been a sort of five-year learning curve.
The stuff that you've overseen, including the women bishops, have been major changes. What challenges do you think the Church of England faces over the next sort of 5-10 years?
I think the Church of England probably only has 20 years, or no more than 20 years, to establish itself as the national church again. And we have challenges of demographics, but I see no reason why we should accept that we live in a post-Christian society. I think our ambition should be to proclaim that we live in a Christian, basically Christian society, that churches shouldn't be seen as sort of almost anthropological places. You go for sociologists go to see what might have happened in the past. I mean, I think we need to ensure we have a living church with a living mission. So proclaiming the gospel, doing all of that, I think is going to be crucially important over the next 20 years. And one of the reasons I'm glad that we resolve with bishops is that one of the things I've learned about the Church of England is the Church of England only seems capable of dealing with one big issue at a time. So whilst we were focused on women bishops, we weren't really being able to spend any time sort of thinking about mission and worship and how we grow the church. And I think the work which is now being done on intergenerational funding, so drawing back some money to fund new mission, new growth and so on, is really important. And I think if the church can for a while focus on how we grow the church, how we grow its mission, then I think that will be really important. It relates to all sorts of things, how we recruit new ordinance, new clergy, how we, you know, new congregations, new ways of working. I think that is the agenda for the next few years.
Although Sir Tony is stepping down as the second Church Estates Commissioner, he will take up a new role chairing the Church Buildings Council.
And actually, I think church buildings, we're slightly at a tipping point here. The Church of England has 16,000 churches across England, the majority of which are in rural areas, which are only covered by a sixth of the population. I mean, just accident of history as to when churches were built. And I think there are quite a lot of dioceses, I've been going around the country, quite a lot of dioceses that are at a tipping point. What do they do, these large numbers of medieval churches? And the reason they only have those, because people are concentrating on other churches, they just don't need all those buildings. So one has to give some thought as to what are we going to do to ensure these churches are blessings and not burdens. And so I think I come into the role of chairing the Church Buildings Council at a time when there are a whole number of policy issues that need to be decided, and I think that will be quite interesting.
Sir Tony Baldry, who's taken up a new role in the Church of England as chairman of the Church Buildings Council. The Church of England's Twitter project, Ask C of E, is being extended into a second year after a successful first 12 months. The project lets members of the Church of England tweet about their life for a week, giving a unique insight into modern faith in action. One of our popular contributors was Sister Elizabeth Pio from the Sisters of Bethany Religious Order.
We had no idea kind of how it would pan out, but we thought it might be a good idea. And so we said yes to it, and very cautiously, and did it that way. That was all it was, really.
What was it that attracted you to doing it?
Anything that tells people about how we live and tries to make sense of what we do, I think that was the main thing, really. That's what we try to get across to people, because there's a lot of illusion about the religious life, and we wanted to try and, you know, show people the day-to-day nitty-gritty stuff and encourage some feedback as well and conversation about it, really.
What sort of reaction did you get from the Twitterati?
It was wonderful. We had loads of feedback, loads of questions, which was exactly what we hoped would happen. Lots of interest, and it was fantastic. All day, every day, I was answering questions. Questions about why we do what we do, which really made us think, and how we all each got to be in doing this kind of thing. Questions about everything, and it was just fantastic. It really was a well worth thing to do for everybody.
Now, it might surprise people, as you've said, that a religious order uses social media and Twitter specifically in this way. Why have you gone down that route?
Because the sole reason is because that's where people are. And that was the only reason we did it. We wanted to try and bring God in some way that we could to where people are. And social media just you know, stuck out a mile, Facebook, Twitter, and now other platforms as well that are coming in. Is that that's where people are having conversations, and that's where God would want to be. And so we thought that's something we could do, we could try. And we cautiously tried it and found that it was actually taken off, and seemed to be blessed by God, so we carried on with it.
Do you feel that's part of your daily work now, almost?
It is. Personally, I've kind of come away from it a little bit because I think part of the journey is that you kind of you minister for a while, perhaps on a certain thing, and then you kind of maybe you need to do something else, come away for it for a little while. Especially social media can be very intense at times. It can catch you up and kind of get you involved all day, every day in conversations. And I personally, I've come away from it, but we're still very much have a presence on Facebook and also Twitter, but to a lesser degree on Twitter now. After our C of E, it did, it did sort of ramp up a little.
We've talked about the impact that you can have as an order on social media. What do you think social media brings to your religious order?
It reminds us that we're part of a bigger picture. I think we can all get too focused on our own little world, really, and we're no different to anybody else. You know, in a church or in a home, for example, we can all get too focused on what goes on in our sphere. So it kind of opens us up and reminds us that we're part of this bigger family, which is wonderful. And how different people are as well. You're exposed to so many different people, opinions and backgrounds and attitudes and views, that it's you come closer to the human race, really, in a matter of seconds. It's amazing. So I think it gives us encouragement and that kind of exposure to the real world, which is what we need.
Sister Elizabeth Pio from the Sisters of Bethany Religious Order. And if you want to find out more about the RC of E project, there's a blog on the front page of our website explaining more about it, www.churchofengland.org. That's it for this week's podcast. Next week, we'll be hearing more about the work of chaplaincy in schools and further education colleges, and I'll be finding out who's made the shortlist for a religious programme award drawn up by TV critics from the Radio Times. I'm Gillian Moody. Thanks for listening.